السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله، it is only with the fazal karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala that we find ourselves in the house of Allah Ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, and we are thankful to Allah Ta'ala that He has blessed us with Iman. Without Iman, no A'mal are accepted. In the Akhirat, in order for A'mal to have weight, they have to be capsuled in Iman. If there is no Iman, then A'mal will not have weight. It's not recognized in the hereafter. If a person who doesn't have Iman carries out some good deeds in the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him in the world. In the world he'll receive some reward for his actions, but in the akhirat there will be no sawab, no reward. A person could have lived a sinful life, his entire life he could have lived a sinful life, committed the worst of gunas, Major gunas. But if he passes away with his Iman, ultimately he'll go to Jannah. Ultimately he will go to Jannah. On the other hand, if a person outwardly lives a very good life, his character is very good, his dealings are honest, he's good to his family, his wife, his neighbors, he's charitable, all these qualities are found in him, but he is bereft of Iman. He doesn't have Iman. So there is no chance of him going to Jannah. He will spend eternity in the fires of Jahannam. So Iman is so simple to become a believer, to become a mu'min. In fact, when non-Muslims want to convert to Islam, they want to become Muslim, and they are explained that this is what you have to do, you have to recite the Shahada and you are a believer. We just have to do this. Because other isms and other so-called ideologies, etc., they have so many rituals and so many different things to do in order for the person to enter that ideology or that ism or whatever. But the deen of Islam is so easy to become a believer, but it is just as easy to lose it. So easy to become a believer, and it's just as easy to lose it also. By a single utterance, a person becomes a believer. We have to accept the person as a believer. Person reads the kalima, person recites the shahadat, we have to accept that this person is a believer. And by a single utterance, a person can come out of the fold of Islam. So this Iman is a very delicate thing. Iman is very, very delicate. You know, a little child that once a bird as a pet. I'm not going into the masail, but I'm just giving an example. A little child wants one bird as a pet. When that bird is purchased, put into that cage, how this child watches that cage now? The bird mustn't get away. The bird mustn't fly out. Child is so worried that the bird mustn't fly away. We have to be worried like that about our Iman. this iman, this bird of iman, it mustn't fly away. It mustn't go away. On the other hand, we have to be worried, extremely worried, and we must not become complacent that no, I got iman and there's no way that I will lose my iman. Why? Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to the effect in one hadith sharif, there are many ahadith that give the same message. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, see, the Yahud, the Jews, they were divided into 71 sects, 71 different groups. 70 of those groups will go to Jahannam, only one will go to Jannah. We're talking about those who passed away in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, or before the time of the next prophet with the new Shariat, right? If they were following the deen that Allah gave them. Now, from that whole Yahud, 71 groups they got divided into, 70 will go to Jahannam, one will go to Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with regards to the Nasara, with regards to the Christians, that they got divided into 72 sects. 71 of those 72 sects will go to Jahannam, one will go to Jannah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I take a qasam in that zat in whose hand lies my life, then my ummah will be divided into 73 sects. From the 73, 72 are going to Jahannam, only one is going to Jannah. So we find that this, the fact that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the 72 will go to Jahannam, only one will go to Jannah, it teaches us that these sects will not be on Masla Masail. These sects will be with regards to Aqidah, with regards to belief. In other words, 72 sects, their belief system will get corrupted. Their Aqidah will be corrupt, their Aqaid will be corrupt. Only one group will be left with a pure Aqidah. That one group will go to Jannah. The iman of one group will be saved, they will go to Jannah. The iman of the other 72 groups will be corrupted, they will go to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala make us from that one group. So it's a reality that groups will be formed. Different isms and ideologies will keep coming about because 73, the ummah is going to be divided into 73 different groups. One brother this morning, a good friend of mine, he is currently in Madina Munawara, so he sent me a message. I'm not carrying the whole message, just this part here. He said, make dua for the unity of the ummah. So I told him, you must make dua for the unity of the ummah upon haq. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this ummah will be broken up into 73 sects. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words can't be wrong. So you will get the 73 sects, whether we like it or not. As much as we say we want unity and all that, the 73 sects will happen. The main thing is to hold on to the rope of Allah, to remain upon haq. So it was asked of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that man hum ya Rasulullah. That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's that one group? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said al-jama'ah. Meaning, the group that is on the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the jama'at of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. That group is the group that is on haq. So, as we go towards Qiyamah, we will find many, many different sects coming about. So many have already come about. Qadianis, the Shia, all different belief systems people have. What the Ismailis, Aga Khanis. Some of you never heard this word before. So you get all the Jahmiya, all the different groups that already came. Some are active, some are not so active. Right? And then more groups are going to come. More and more groups are going to come. So anything that happens, we must always go back to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, right? And we can't go back ourselves. Because we don't have the proper knowledge. So we must observe our pious predecessors, those where they lived their life, you know, adhering to the Shariat, adhering to the Sunnah, right? We must look at them, take our cue from them, take our guidance from them. Then inshallah ta'ala we will remain on that group that is upon haq. We must make dua to Allah ta'ala, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa, warzuqna ittiba'a, wa arina al-batila batila, warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us the truth as truth. And show us the batil as batil. Give us tawfiq that we follow the truth, we follow the right path, and give us the tawfiq that we abstain from that which is batil. We must keep making this dua. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qulubana ala dinik. Make these duas. Make dua for iman. Allahumma sabbitna ala al-iman wa amitna ala al-iman. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman. Keep making these duas to Allah Ta'ala. Right? Now, when an ideology or a batil group, you know, what they call that firaqe batila, you know, how does this thing mushroom, how does it start? You must always remember, a non-Muslim, if he has to come and he says that, oh Muslim, see I've got one ideology for you, start following me. Who's going to follow him? Immediately the Ummah will say, this person is a non-Muslim, where are we going to follow him? Yes, the non-Muslim may be able to influence the Muslim towards guna, towards fashion, towards layani, towards all dunya. He may be able to do that. But he cannot change the Muslim person's aqidah. When an ideology mushrooms, it is from within. A batil group, a batil ideology, when it mushrooms, it is from within. It will be from a person who has gained prominence. He has got a large following. Right? He's got a large following. And then, slowly, he starts deviating. He starts making certain statements that other ulama are not making. Pious predecessors never make. He starts following a way that was not followed by our pious predecessors. So he starts doing those things. But sometimes it's like very grey area, like, you know, no, there may be that kind of explanation to it, there may be this kind of explanation to it. So it gains momentum like this. It carries on. Until the person, now he has a group of blind followers. And he's gained such confidence from these followers that whatever he says, they will listen. Now you may say, but Maulana, how is that possible? But I will tell you, even Netanyahu got a following. How much he's doing, right? Any sane person will tell you this man is making zulam. How can you listen to this person? How can you follow the instructions of this person? But does he not have a following? So if he can have a following, so a person who is in a garb of piety and who outwardly is showing piety and like he's doing, why won't he have a following? Why won't he end up with a following? Right? So then when he has this blind fellowship. These people that are just following anything he says, no, they will make excuses for him. They will just follow whatever he says. Then slowly the things of Aqidah will come out. Now the question arises, but why does a person do something like this? Those reasons can be many. Sometimes it can be seeking fame. Sometimes it can be wealth. Sometimes it can be blackmail. There are people that are approached by dark forces in the world who are agents of the devil, who you call Illuminati and you call Knight Templars and you call all these groupings, satanic people. They approach people like this in communities, in societies, who have, you know, like a high stand, who people are, they are muqtada, you know, people are following them. They approach these kind of people, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Sometimes they approach them in a sweet manner. You know, do one favor, you know, do something, you put some money, whatever. Now you get the person used to all of that. Then you start making demands. Now the person is already caught up in a web now. Sometimes they do it with threats. Sometimes they start harming. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned one beautiful hadith sharif. That fitnas will come, you know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam described it like the sticks in a mat. You know, in a chatai. You don't use chatai anymore. You know, a chatai, a straw mat, like how the sticks are placed there. Fitnas will come like that. And there will be two types of hearts. One heart will not be affected by these fitnas. In other words, the person will remain firm on the way of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Remain firm. So whenever these fitnas come and he fights it, he remains firm, then that heart gets polished. Until that heart comes like a white stone, it's pure. And on the other hand, there will be a heart that will be like an upside down dirty vessel, messed. It can't see right from wrong. It cannot absorb good knowledge. It cannot take when it's false are pointed out. So that heart will just sink more and more into corruption, more and more into filth and evil. Allah protect us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So these things will start. You can't, the person who is caught up in the fitna, or the person who is creating this sect, or this batil ideology, you can't go to him and ask him, are you starting a batil ideology? Is he going to tell you, yes, sir, I'm starting? No. And you can't use your own logic to figure it out. You have to listen to your elders. You have to listen to your seniors. And you have to see that our elders, our senior, what are they saying? And sometimes when our ulama-i kiram, those who are the ulama-i haq, you can sift them out, you know. The ulama-i haq, you can see them, their lives, their simplicity. They're not getting involved in all the modern day fitnas, etc. You can see them, they've given their lives for Allah Ta'ala's deen. So sometime, they have durbini, what? They have, you know, their sight is very far. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about this in the Hadith Sharif, no? The firasat of a mu'min. Because he sees with the nur of Allah. So he sees very far. So sometime when they caution us about something, we looking at present day, and we say, no man, but no, you're coming down too hard on this thing. But they are looking with firasat. They can see that this particular thing here has all the ingredients, it has all the tools to become a batil ideology. So they will caution us. They caution us. So when they caution us, we must exercise restraint. Sometimes that what they're cautioning us from, it is not a batil ideology at the present moment. But with the firasat they have, they can see that this has got the ingredients and the tools to become that. And wallahi, beloved students, I can tell you that our elders, many a times, they spoke things, they warned the community of South Africa about certain things, which were just mushrooming. They were in the infancy stage. And when they spoke, then there was a lot of opposition. And people said, you know, we're trying to do a good thing here, and these Moranas, everything, they got a problem with it, everything, they got objections. They're not prepared to do something themselves, but then when somebody else wants to do it, they got objection. But not long later, 1 decade, 2 decades, and you see the rot and the filth that sets into those things. I can give you examples from when I was a student and things that were happening in the country at that time, which were just in their infancy, right? And sometime in our nadaniyat, in our kamfehmi, our nadaniyat, when the seniors spoke out against it, we too thought, man, hey, but now, we are a bit heavy now. You know? But because they were our seniors, we never oppose. And later on, it didn't take long to see, you know, this thing was heading in the wrong direction from the beginning. We couldn't see it. They could see. They could see where it is going. Now, sometime when we hear a talk like this, one worry comes in the mind. What's the worry? Say that, you know, if big, big people slipped, I mean, Maududi was no small person, he was a big alim, right? And there were others like that, big, big people slipped. So now, if I put my hand in the hand of this mufti, or I put my hand in the hand of my ustad, and I put my hand in the hand of my sheikh, or my elder, what's the guarantee he's not going to slip? And I'm going to slip with him. Allah Ta'ala is too merciful. Allah Ta'ala is too merciful. You see, as long as you are sincere, you sincerely want to be Allah's. Sometime a person, he may be up to some evil, some mischief, but you in your heart, you want Allah. Allah Ta'ala will take you out. Allah Ta'ala will take you out. Allah Ta'ala will put you on the right road. By Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, what he was looking for? He is looking for Iman, he is looking for Islam, he is looking for the land of date palms, he is looking for Huzur-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He got all the descriptions. He knows about the seal of prophethood. He knows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not eat charity. All these things he knows. And he sets out his quest to find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where he ends up? by one priest who's a chor. How many? That one dies, that one sends him somewhere, he goes there another corruption there, some... But he was sincere in his quest. Eventually, he's a slave. He's a slave. He's working there. He's hearing the conversation down. His master is talking to somebody else. He hears what he's looking for. Allah brought him there. He comes down. He gets one shot too. Hey, you go do your work. He found what he was looking for. He found what he was looking for. Why? He had a quest, a sincere heart. Allah Ta'ala will not let the person go astray. Allah won't let the person go astray. Understand? So you hold on to Allah Ta'ala, be sincere. Hold on to the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When you see anything going contrary to that, move very far away. When you are confused, look at your elders. Your elders who are on the straight path. Look at them and follow what they are saying. And we make dua, Allah ta'ala keep us on sirat-i-mustaqim. Allah keep us with iman. Allah take us with iman. Allah ta'ala resurrect us with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.